All right, cool. All right, well, let's get started. How many guys were here last week? Do you guys remember what Travis talked about? Yeah? Here's the test. Yeah. You know, at the beginning of what Travis shared, he had an awesome message about the Lord just clearing our ears out. And before he did that, he was talking about the vision and really the purpose, kind of like the what the Lord has kind of called this church to be about, you know. And there were three things. Do you guys remember them? Pursuers of His presence, right? Yeah, that was number one. What was the second one? You guys remember it? Ephesians 4, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. You were listening. You took notes. Yay! And what was the third one? You guys remember the third one? The third one holds them both together. What's the third one? You guys remember it? Close, yeah. It's community. Doing this, being knit together, pursuing His presence, equipping the body in the midst of community. If you don't have the community part, you're gonna die. The church is going to die. The church is going to burn out. It's going to be centered around gifts instead of God. Right. All three are need. We really feel like all three are needed. Anyway, it's kind of the biblical model, right? It's kind of the New Testament church model. If you really do your digging, this is what the New Testament church, they were doing this. They are pursuing the presence, the power, the love of God to be equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry, not just in church on Sunday mornings, but outside and in the midst of a community. And so I really feel like the Lord's really, it's just been like kind of a calling and a passion of mine since I met the Lord. And I feel like I feel His desire for it too. And it's the desire to be with His kids, to be in His presence, you know? And so I want to kind of delve a little deeper into like, well, what is this first part that we talk about, like the vision of the church about pursuing His presence? What does it look like? Why are we doing it? What is the presence of God? You know, we throw a lot of church words around. Then you ask a Christian, hey, what's the presence of God? It's like, well, I don't know. It's kind of like when you kind of go into church service and it's kind of touchy-feely. You get some goosebumps. And you're like, man, God's here. You know what I mean? But it's more than that. It is that, but it's more than that, right? And I feel like we're supposed to be like experts about the presence of God. We are supposed to be, we are called, this church is called to be just like expert navigators in the when it comes to the presence of God, moving with the Holy Spirit. That's part of our calling. So we want to pursue His presence, okay? So what is the presence of God, all right? So this is kind of a loaded question. I mean, this will probably be multiple messages because we can get real deep in this. And today, I really want to go over kind of like a general overall about pursuing His presence, what it looks like, and really valuing the presence of God. So there's two types of presences of God, if you that's even a term, you know. How many of you guys heard of the omnipresence of God? Yeah, most Christians, you've been here for a while, you know that. What does that actually mean? Can somebody tell me? He's everywhere, all the time, all at once, right? He's everywhere, all the time, all at once. The omnipresence of God. He's everywhere. The Bible says He literally holds the universe in the palm of His hand. That's a huge hand. If you study the universe is massive. And He holds it in the palm of His hand. He's everywhere. We're talking about not just in the current. We're talking about time, space, everything. He's everywhere all the time. We get into some quantum physics here, okay? He's everywhere all the time. Past, future. So that is the omnipresence of God. You know, Psalm 139:7, where can I go from Your spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up into heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So he's everywhere all the time, right? It doesn't feel like that all the time, right, you guys? But the truth is he is. Whether you feel it or not, he is everywhere all the time. And that is the omnipresence of God, okay? Now, there's the other presence of God that the Bible talks about, and it's the manifest presence of God. Can somebody give me a definition? What is the manifest presence of God? That's a very churchy word. What is the manifest presence of God? Yeah, all those things. Anybody else? What is the manifest presence of God? Experiential. Yeah. Yeah, the glory. We talk about when we talk about the manifest presence of God, a lot of times we kind of equate that to the glory of God, which actually is like, you guys heard the Hebrew term, the Shekinah of God, the glory of God, the outgoing presence of God. Actually, weighty. It's actually Shekinah means weighty presence of God, and it's described in so many ways. And we'll get deep in it. Describe even what Josh was singing. I just love how God like kind of marries things together. Josh singing the presence of God. The presence of God. A lot of times, there's fire involved with it. There's light involved with it. This glorious light. There's a weightiness. So there's different kind of facets of when God kind of shows up. So the manifest presence of God is basically what you guys are describing. It's when the veil between the spirit and the natural becomes super thin and sometimes completely gone, and God is in his manifest presence. He's literally in the natural, expressing himself in the natural. Right? When heaven actually reveals, kind of like pushes past the veil between the two, spirit and the natural, and invades, and we see the results of it. We see, like, you touch you stick your fork in an outlet or something like that, there's going to be a natural consequence. You're going to see, you're going to feel, because electricity is like invisible, right? But you see the results of it, right? Just like, you know, when Jesus described those being born of the Holy Spirit, they're like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you see the result of it. So the manifest presence of God is like when God shows up and we see the result of it through us. And we talk about all this stuff, all these benefits of God being in our midst. Okay? So it's more than just feelings and goosebumps. And like, you know, feel good stuff, although his presence does affect our emotions. They do. I don't know about you, but most of the time when I sense or feel, I hate to use the word feel because it kind of associates only just to emotions, but like it's like a sensing, it's like a discerning. When I discern the manifest presence of God, I'll be honest, a lot of times, man, I just instantly tear up. I don't know why. Anybody else like that? Yeah. You just sense. And you know why? I asked the Lord about that one time. I was like, Lord, what is the deal? Why am I always crying? I'm not sad. Like, why do I cry when you step into the room, when I feel you, when I sense you? And he's saying, like, Paul, because my love overwhelms, short circuits your emotions. My love is so powerful, it overwhelms you. And that's what happens when we experience his love, his presence. You can kind of equate it, his love, his power. They're all intertwined, you know, like they're tangible. So when he shows up, his love shows up, and his love is power. And it changes things. It messes your natural body up. It like just short circuits our natural body. It just does. And we can kind of talk about, you know, the differences between here. So in Genesis 28:16, it talks about the manifest presence of God. So it says, and Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, how to be feared and reverenced in this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway of heaven. You know, that was when Jacob had that visitation, that dream at Bethel. He had an encounter with God. God showed up basically in the natural and just kind of like, God was everywhere, but it's like this veil was removed at Bethel, and he encountered the living God, and it changed him. Or in Ephesians 3:19, you guys know that this is the Amplified. You guys know this prayer. This is an awesome prayer to pray, by the way. So Paul is praying for the Ephesians, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, and you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. I love that. It's powerful. God wants us to be filled completely with his manifest presence, and he wants us to leak wherever we go. Now, God is in you. If you are a born-again Christian, Holy Spirit is living inside of you, but there's something about the manifest presence, the anointing, whatever you want to call it, the Holy Spirit coming on you, out of you, around you. I don't understand all the science behind it. I don't need to. But we know it's real and we know it's biblical, right? Peter, when he was walking to the temple, it talked about Peter in Acts about him, when he walked around, they'd stick people in his shadow, and his shadow would, the presence of God was so strong that it was even on his shadow that people were healed. We're talking about the tangible, manifest presence and power of God. That is what God longs for us to walk in that just as much as we do. All right. So the reason why it's important to talk about this, and a lot of you guys already know a lot about this stuff, and it's revealed to you, but that's okay. We need to talk about this. We need to continually set it before us. We need to continually say, yes, God, we are after you. We are after your presence. We want to be a people of your presence. Because stuff in this life, in this world, it will try to like push that out from being number one. It will. Because the enemy knows that when we are filled and walking in the power and the presence and the love of God, we will bring destruction to his kingdom. It's just, so duh, if he was a smart guy, which the enemy is, he is smart. He's been around for a long time. Let's just say that. He's been around. He's seen stuff. He knows, hey, if I get these guys distracted from the main thing, my job's easy. I'll take over this place easy. So anyway, there is a battle about this. So, and I think it's important for us as a church to kind of reiterate this and set vision. Hey, this is what we're about. This is what we're doing. And the first thing that we need to do about this is we need to value the presence of God. We need to put value on it. Is it valuable to you? Is God in your midst valuable? Because where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. That is what you're going to pursue. That's what you're going to put your energy to. So is the presence of God in your life, in our community, valuable? That's God's asking that question. Because he sees when we value his presence, when we steward his presence, he gives us more. When we're good stewards with the little that he has, that he's given us, he gives us way more. Because here's the deal. A lot of times, God like totally showed up. I don't know. I just bring out like examples like Brownsville or something. Like if he like showed up, it probably, I'll be honest, like it probably like destroy our church. We probably wouldn't be able to handle it. But God does over time. He's slow. If we are stewards of God, we're pursuing you. We need your presence. We want your presence. God, keep coming. Thank you for your presence now, Lord. But we want more. We want more. And we are continually stewarding and valuing him in our midst. He's going to come more and more. And we will see stuff like Brownsville. We will see stuff that's been prophesied over this area, the Welsh revival. But we got to start somewhere. You don't just all of a sudden, boom, okay, it's the Welsh revival. You know, one day it's like church is normal and we're doing our thing. And I think we've gotten, we're on the right path as a church. We really are. And Travis has done an awesome job of just kind of getting us back on track. And but anyways, you don't like one day go from there to like, you know, the Welsh Revival. You know, Evan Roberts, if you study this, they were pursuing this. They valued the presence of God. They were day after day, it was like forefront in their mind. It was like priority, Lord, come. We need you in ourselves. We have nothing to offer. But when you show up, when you come out of us or come on us or however you want to come, you change things, you fix things, you change what the enemy has done, and you turn it over to the kingdom, and you just reverse what the enemy is trying to do. Does that make, am I making sense with like this kind of picture? And I'm grateful because I feel like you, all this group that we have here, you guys are hungry for the presence of God. You're hungry to see God move. And man, when we stay focused and when we stay on that path, I mean, we are going to see God move in tremendous ways here. We are. All right, so we need a value. Number one, we need to value his presence. God is looking for people who value his presence, who value him in their midst. And I feel like we need to go through two examples of these people who, there's two people in the Bible specifically that stood out to me. The Lord was like saying, follow their example. And it's David and Moses, okay? So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles 13. We're gonna study David here, see how he stewarded, how he pursued, how he valued the presence of God. 1 Chronicles 13, 1. All right, a little backstory here, because we don't have time. I don't want to read the whole multiple chapters. So Saul killed himself. All right, and then there's this kind of like battle, a little bit of who's going to be king. David's already been anointed king a long time ago. David becomes king over Judah, and then he becomes king over Israel. He takes back Jerusalem, and this is where we're at with the First Chronicles 13. So here we go. David is finally king after all those years. Good gracious. You know what I mean? And you read the story of David. I mean, he had a crazy ride. He was supposed to be king a long time ago, right? And he endured. He kept on believing God's promise over his life. He becomes king. And what's the first thing he does officially as the king over all of Israel? Don't you think what he does as his first thing as king is probably what he values? We talk about the president, right? So Donald Trump shows up this past, 4 years ago, three years ago. You could probably tell a lot about Donald Trump and what he's going to do by the first things that he does as president, right? The same thing is, I believe, for like David, he will value. The first thing he does is what he values. All right, let's read it. David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, and he said to the whole assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our people throughout the territories of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their towns and pasture lands, to come and join us, and let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." And the whole assembly agreed to this because it seemed right to all the people. So what's the first thing that he does as king? He invites the presence of God back. He valued God's presence in their midst so much that it was the first thing he does. He valued the presence of God. And we know that the ark is a symbol of the presence of God. We'll go deep in that another time. You know what I mean? But like in actuality, God's literal glory did sit between the two cherubim on the ark. David knew he needed the presence of God more than anything else. He knew he would not be a successful king unless he had the presence of God in his midst. God with him. In 1 Kings 8:17, I'm just going to read this. This kind of is exposing what was in David's heart. Now, it was in the heart of David, my father, this is Solomon talking, to build a house for the name, the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. David valued God's presence. He brought the ark, which is a symbol of God's presence, back to Jerusalem. And where was the ark before? It was stolen. It was the Philistines took it. They got all kinds of crazy stuff happened to them. They're like, we don't want this thing. And then they gave it back to Israel, and it just hung out in Kiriath Jearim, if I'm pronouncing that right. It just hung out there for 20 years during Saul's reign. And then David was like, what are we doing? What defines us more than anything else? How are we going to be a successful nation without the presence of God? These are same questions that we need to be asking. All right, let's talk about Moses a little bit. So turn to Exodus 33:15. This is a familiar scripture to you guys. We talk about this a lot. I pray this a lot. This is a good prayer. So Moses, he's hanging out on the mountain, right, for 40 days, 40 nights. He's hanging out with God. Talk about the literal manifest presence of God. Like, we're talking about fire and all kinds of lightning and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And that's an awesome passage to read, by the way, if you guys are hungry for the presence of God. It's just powerful. So this is Exodus 33:15. So God's talking to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend, right? And he's saying, hey, I want you to go. You're going to take this land. And it's going to be, you're the promised land. He's talking about the promised land. He's going to take this. You guys are going to take this. And then immediately after, this is what Moses says. This is 15. And then Moses says to him, God, that's cool. But if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else, listen to this, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of this earth? Ah, man, that's huge. Moses recognized that he valued the presence of God. He valued God in his midst. He knew he had nothing to offer. I mean, Jesus said the same thing. He says, in myself, I have nothing that I can give. But God, through him, the Holy Spirit through him, he was able to do crazy stuff. Right? We are the same way. If Jesus was saying that, we're saying the same thing, whether you like it or not. We can't do anything on our own, but with God, nothing's impossible. So Moses, he valued the presence of God so much so that he kind of had this, like, I want to say argument, but like, God, that's cool. The land's great. But guess what? He didn't value his promise. He didn't value the land more than the presence. Because he was like, okay, yeah, your presence, the promised land, that's cool. But God, if you don't come, I don't want it. Don't send me there. Because I want to be where you are. I want to be exactly where you are. I value your presence. I value my relationship with you higher than anything else, more than the promise, more than the purposes, more than anything. He got it. Moses got it. I think that's why God was like, he used him so much and why he used David so much, because they got it. They understood, why did God even create us? To be in intimate fellowship and relationship with him. And I know it's in you guys too. I know you guys feel it. When the Lord steps in the room, when you feel the presence of God, there's something in your heart. You feel, you're like, God, there it is. I was made for this. I was made to be with you. I don't want to be anywhere else. God, sometimes I forget. And then when your presence comes, it reminds me, this is what I was made for. I was made for you. is the most valuable, most important thing. Help me keep it that, right? Now, just encouragement, you know, David and Moses, they weren't perfect either. They sometimes other things took priority over the presence of stuff, but they repented most of the time. Yeah, they did all the time. And they kept on pursuing the presence, kept on pursuing Jesus. So it's important for us to value God in our midst. God is looking for somebody who's like, man, that is worth more than all the money in the world. That is worth more than anything else. He's looking for people like that. Because he's like, well, that person, I can use him like I used David. I can use him like I used Moses because he's valuing my presence. You know, I've been, I feel like he said the same thing about Evan Roberts or what's that, the guy, you know, I'm talking about, I've been listening and kind of watching a lot of stuff like the Brownsville revival type stuff. What's Kilpatrick, the guy Kilpatrick and Steve Hill, they had this same heart. And Solomon described it. It's the heart of David. God, I want you more than anything else. Your presence is more valuable than having a perfect church service. Your presence is more valuable than having thousands of people at the church. Your presence is more valuable than seeing, like, I don't know, a successful ministry. It's so funny because sometimes we get like backwards. You think having a successful ministry is having a lot of people and having what the world calls success. When God's like saying, you're going to get all that if you actually put what's first, if you value what is actually more important than all that stuff. And that's me, my presence. Because if my presence comes, it will draw all men. You know, I was watching some of the Brownsville stuff, you know, recently, and my gosh. You guys ever watch any of that stuff? Go on YouTube. It's all on YouTube. I mean, there was lines. People were waiting all day to get into this place because of one thing. They weren't there like a couple weeks before, you know, when God didn't show up. They were there when God showed up and they heard, wait a second, God is moving in this place. God is literally, tangibly present in the midst of these people. I'm there. Talking about evangelistic tool. I mean, gosh, the presence, the very presence of God. And I mean, people, and they show video of it too. Like there's people like running when they like open the doors and people were like, it was like Black Friday or something. People were like running, pushing people out of the way. I'm getting to the front. It's crazy, but it was awesome. People were so hungry. That shows the state of people's hunger for God. People are hungry for God. They really are. Non-believers, believers, they're hungry for God. They're hungry to experience God because they know, whether they know it or not, in their heart is saying, I want to be with him. I was made to be with him. I just want to go through a couple things. So how can we do this? How do we value the, how can we have practically value the presence? How can we practically pursue God's presence? Because it is kind of like a, I'll be honest, it's a little ambiguous. It's a little, you know, when you're pursuing something that's kind of intangible, but it's sort sometimes tangible. It's kind of a weird thing. You guys agree with me? How do you pursue something that, like, is kind of, you know, you can't control God. You can't say, God, come right now. Presence, manifest presence, reveal yourself. You know, it doesn't work like that. We don't control God. I don't want it. It doesn't work like that. God doesn't do that. But there are certain things that do attract him. There are certain things that we can do practically that will attract his presence in our midst. In your life, in your family, in your workplace. So here's stuff we can do personally, right? So Jeremiah 24:7, Lord spoke to me about this a long time ago when I first was really walking with the Lord. If you guys want to turn it, go for it. This is awesome scripture. And there's kind of a play on the scripture number. The Lord kind of like revealed it to me. This is like, I was praying actually for this young adult meeting that we were starting. And he said, turn Jeremiah 24:7 and do this 24/7. And this is what it says. I will give them a heart to know me. that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. How can we practically pursue the presence of God? Seek him 24/7. Jeremiah 24/7. Nonstop. Not on Sundays. Alone. Sundays, yes. Not just at home group. 24/7. He's given you a heart to know him. That new heart that you've been given when you were born again, it now says, I want to know you, God. I'm hungry for you. Nothing else. Nothing else will fill me. The only thing that will fill me is to know you experientially. Nothing else will fill it. We try to fill it with all kinds of stuff, but nothing else will fill it. That's the heart you've been given. That's the easy part. Good gracious. Thank goodness. God's helped us. He's given us a heart that actually wants to cry out, Abba, Father, Abba, Daddy. It's crying it out constantly. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. You're mine. I'm yours. Now, our brain and stuff kind of get in the way, but our spirit, our heart is crying out, I want to know you. I want to know you. So now yield to that heart. That's something we can practically do throughout the day. Wake up in the morning. Whenever you spend time with your one-on-one time with the Lord, spend time in the morning, spend time at night, whatever it is during lunch. But we need to learn to really practice the presence of God, to really recognize. And it's more than just kind of like feeling it 24/7, feeling him with us. It's just recognizing, God, you're with me. And we talk about it a lot, keeping that dialogue open with him and us all day long. God, you're with me. Constantly turning your thoughts to him. God, I'm at work. I'm trying to get this project underway or whatever. I'm a project manager at the hospital. So sometimes I'm like, and I'll constantly just like, Lord, here's a problem in my project. I'm involving you. Give me wisdom. I'm practicing the presence. I'm keeping the dialogue open. Now, I don't do it perfectly all day, but I'm practicing. There's a reason why they call it practicing the presence of God with Brother Lawrence, right? It's like something that if you gradually start out with and it grows and it grows and it grows, and all of a sudden, you're praying without ceasing this impossible task that we talk about all the time, but you're doing it naturally because you started off with a little bit. Lord, I'm acknowledging you. Thank you, Lord. Walk with me. You're here right now. What are you saying? This is what I'm thinking. Get in this situation. Does that make sense? We talk about that all the time. It is very practical. It is very practical. And I guarantee if you start off with just, don't think like, sometimes we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot because we try to like, eat the elephant in one bite kind of deal, you know what I mean? Start off a little bit. If you aren't doing this, or even if you are doing this, don't stop where you're at. Just continually grow and grow and practicing the presence of God in your life. Jeremiah 24/7, you have a heart to know him, and pray without ceasing. He's given it to you already. And then that's 1 Thessalonians 15:17, pray without ceasing. So corporately, what can we do as a church? Where we've been talking about the vision of this church, right? What can we do as a church practically to facilitate, to value the presence of God? Well, I think we're doing a lot of it already. And number one thing is prayer. Number one, we've been talking about it for months, right? We just kind of like, the Lord just like, I'll be honest, after a while, I was like, Lord, you sure you want to talk about prayer again? I think we're kind of, is there anything else to talk about prayer? We talk about, what, it's like 4 months or something? Oh, my gosh, you're just like, we could talk about prayer forever. But coming prepared, when we get together corporately, your prayer is important. Your prayer affects when we come together. It does. Don't wait for just the pastors to pray that prayer. You pray that prayer with the pastors. There's no us and them. This church model has like gotten so distorted over the years. We are a corporate body. We need each other. You can't live vicariously through your leaders. You can't. You weren't called to do that. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus. You're called to know God for yourself and to join in the work corporately of what the purposes of God are here in Wilmington. Now, I know a lot of you guys are already doing that. And I'm grateful, you know, to be part of like an awesome community that we have here. You guys are hungry for God and you're pursuing God. But then that could look practically. That means like when we come on Sunday morning that like you're praying before the service, God, thank you for your presence that came last time. Come more. Come more. We need more. We want more. And then like when we come together, because another thing that we can practically do is worship together. And we talked about this, weeks ago about how we can join in together and we can pray. And when we worship together, when we literally open our mouths and we sing together who God is, something happens. The presence of God shows up. We know that, right? It's not just when Josh, they open their mouth. We feel the presence of God when they, you know, this like this morning, like we felt the presence of God. I felt it tangibly. But when we all join in, there's like this increase of the presence of God. And I am, the Lord spoke to me about this years ago. He gave me the scripture Mark 2. And I think I've talked about it a little bit recently about it with you guys. I know I've talked to Travis about it. And if you read Mark 2, the Lord said, turn to Mark 2, study it, read it. This is what I'm going to do in this area, within your body, within your congregation. And you guys know, I'm not going to go to that real quick, but just to kind of recap here. So Jesus was in that house, and it was packed full. Okay? You guys read it. We'll read it, you know, read it on your own. It was packed full. And you guys know the story. The paralytic guy and his two friends were kind of like, crap, how are we going to get in this house? It's completely full, packed full. We can't even like walk through the door. And they pull the roof off, right? And they lower him down and the guy was healed and his sins were forgiven and all that. You know that story. And it's said that house, there's a key scripture that the Holy Spirit just kind of like jumped out and to me. And it said, it's the scripture. Oh, gosh. Let me see if I have it. I think it's important. All right, yeah, Mark 2, and this is verse 1. And Jesus, having returned from Capernaum, after some days, it was rumored about that he was in the house. Holy Spirit just like, psh. I never really, you know, I've read that story a million times, but there he just like pointed out there was rumor that Jesus was in the house. And then I immediately felt like the Holy Spirit said, that's what your church is called to be. That's what the church here in Wilmington is supposed to be about. There is going to be such an anointing, a presence of God that there's going to be a rumor that Jesus is in the house, that Jesus is in our house. And that is what attracted people. So much so they couldn't even fit in this house, right? They got to pull the roof off. We did have a hole in the roof for a little bit. Does that make sense? I'm just trying to like cast vision of like things that like have been spoken over this body and encourage you guys that, hey, let's pursue his presence together. It's such a privilege. We're going to see awesome things together. When God shows up, he changes everything. I think Josh was singing that this morning, right? When he shows up. I don't know about you, but the times that God shows up in my life, in my personal time with God, there have been demarcations in my life where God showed up, his manifest presence showed up in my room or wherever the heck I was, and it changed me. It literally, there was one time the power and the presence of God was so strong, it changed my personality. That might mess with some of you guys a little bit, but it did. The love of God, like, it was so powerful one time that, like, it just changed me. And I was a Christian already. And it's continually changing me. He's making me more and more like him. Because that's what I want to be. I want to be like him. He is my goal. So, gosh, we could talk a while from this, but I want to wrap this up a little bit. And because there is, and I don't want to, here's the one thing a lot of times people will be like, well, why are we focusing on just like this touchy-feely stuff and God coming on Sunday morning in a church? I want to encourage you guys, that's not the Lord. God wants to be in our midst. And it's not about just here Sunday morning, us being in this little, it's not about like God showing up in this physical building. We talk about, you guys know this, and Ephesians 2:22, he's building us in relationship, in that community for him to dwell in our midst. He's not necessarily looking at a building. Now, we practically use buildings. So my encouragement to you with that is pray every time we get together where two or three are gathered in his name that he would show up. Home groups. This is an awesome thing for you guys to pray. Before you go to home group, you're driving on the way to home group and the kids are yelling in the back, whatever. You just zone out and you say, Lord, we need your presence to come in home group stronger. Thank you for what you've given. Lord, we want more. We want to see our family changed by you and equipped. And we want to see the community changed and equipped. And that happens when you show up through us, around us. I mean, you know, he shows up all kinds of ways. And we can get into that, the theology of all that later on. But does that make sense? So I'm encouraging you guys, let's value his presence even more. Personally, corporately, and even outside when we're wherever God's planted you in Wilmington. Value his presence there. Invite his presence in your workplace, in your office, in the meetings at work, or out of your work outside at the construction site. Invite the presence of God to come. Because we're going to hear stories. It's going to happen. Just like, and we talk about this when Smith Wigglesworth, was it? No, Charles Finney. Charles Finney would show up to these factories. He's not in a church or whatever. He's in. There's this one story. He shows up in this factory. And the presence of God, the manifest presence of God was so strong. And it came in this way. And we'll go deeper in this, how God shows up. There was the Holy Spirit came as a spirit of repentance. You know, the Holy Spirit is a multifaceted Holy Spirit. The seven spirits of God, we won't get into that, but God comes in different ways. We can go deeper in that. But to finish that story, so, you know, Charles Finney shows up in this place, and the Holy Spirit shows up, the manifest presence of God came tangibly in this, where he showed up, because he was carrying the presence of God, that, like, the whole factory starts repenting of their sin and crying. And, I mean, talk about craziness. You ever think about that? You show up to work, and, like, all of a sudden, all your coworkers around your cubicle start crying. And, like, I don't know what's coming over me, but, like, man, I'm so sorry for myself. I'm such a sinner. The conviction of the Holy Spirit was coming over them to set them free. And then, you know, he starts preaching the gospel, and everybody gets saved. Now, these are grandiose, you know, ideas, but it can happen real small, too. Man, I've been having many encounters with my coworkers where all of a sudden, like, I see the Holy Spirit working on them, and it's like this open door to, like, start just partnering with what he's already doing. All right, Holy Spirit, I'm going to come alongside. You are ministering to this person. You're going to set them free. Okay. We go deep in this thing. I'm telling you, I told you before, I'm sorry, you get me started talking about this stuff, and we'll probably be here a couple hours, but we need to wrap this thing up. but let's do that. There's an awesome scripture. The Lord actually has been bringing it to my mind this year. There's a scripture, and gosh, I have it in my other Bible, actually. I think it's in 2 Chronicles. And there's like a where the nation of Israel, they make a covenant. I think it was King Asa. Be careful how you say that. Where like they made this covenant as a nation. God, we make a covenant with you. We will seek you. This, and I just feel like the Lord just saying, Lord, like he's saying, like, Paul, like this year, like you don't have to do like the crazy, we won't get like the oath and all that. Make a decision in your heart to seek me this year above all things. Seek first kingdom of heaven. You know, kind of that bringing back. So let's do that together. Can we pray real quick about that and just kind of make a decision of like, Lord, this year, we want to see you come. We want to see your presence increase. We value presence. Let's just pray. Lord, first and foremost, we thank you for what you have been doing in our midst. Thank you for your presence that shows up when we two or three gather together in our body. Thank you for when your presence shows up when we're at work. When your anointing to set the captives free shows up. But Lord, we are asking for more. We love your presence, God. We love your presence. We value you in our midst more than anything. Our hearts are already, the new heart that you put in us is already crying out, is already saying, God, I want to know you. I want to experience you. You are my Father, and I want to know you more. Every day, not just on Sunday mornings, we want to know you more and more and more and experience you more and more. So, Lord, we just dedicate this year, 2020. Lord, we dedicate this year to seek you personally and corporately. Give us a hunger for your presence, Lord, that is beyond our own ability. Make us desperate, God. Make us like those people that are running in the Brownsville revival, pushing people out of the way. Desperate for you, God. Didn't care what they look like. Didn't care who was in their way. Make us desperate, God, for your presence. And we know, Lord, when we taste you, it makes us even more desperate. So we just pray, Father, more and more. Lord, Sunday mornings, Lord, we just pray and we just say, no normal, just church services. We want your presence to come. We want to be like Mark 2, Lord, that there's rumor that you're in our midst, Lord. That you're literally walking in our midst, where we are seeing the manifestation of you hanging out with us, people healed, people set free, people saved, people delivered. Marriages, the impossible, the thing that the world is saying is impossible in this generation. Lord, for the divorce rate to turn, for homosexuals to be set free. In Jesus' name. Because when you show up, you turn everything, you make everything right. What the enemy meant to steal and to kill and destroy, you turn for our good. So Lord, we just corporately this morning, this mighty band of 50 or whatever, it doesn't matter, Lord, 120 in the upper room and change the world. Lord, we are committing this year to you. We want to say 2020, we want to know you and we will pursue you and value your presence above all. So help us, Lord, with this. Holy Spirit, you're our helper. Thank you that your name is helper because we need your help.